to yours. Happy Mother's Day, ladies.
Do I peel these grapes or what?
Well, thank you for joining us this morning. It is Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day.
Yes, to those mothers out there.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there, and to our moms as well. Happy Mother's Day. We hope that you're enjoying your day and you're having a chance to get with your family and your loved ones and spend some time with them in one form or another. There is always webcams and FaceTimes and
phone
and text, whatever it may be. Shoot them some pictures and let the moms out there know that you're thinking about them. And you love them, and you can't wait to get back together. It's kind of weird to not be at church on Mother's Day. This is usually the day that you corral all the kids together and make them go to church and do that. But instead, we get to do this together online for perhaps just a few more weeks. So we do hope you're enjoying your day. Thanks for joining us. We'll have a few songs, and then we'll get into a little bit of a message today. And go grab some stuff for communion, too. Bring everyone around the table, and we'll share on that later in today as well. So thanks for joining us, and we'll see you in just a little bit.
No sorrow that heaven can deal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven can deal. So lay down your burdens, lay down your shame. All who are broken,
lay down your burden. You were the Word at the beginning, one with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is, what a beautiful name. Beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. Your love is greater. What could separate us now? What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is, the name of Jesus. Death could not hold you, the veil tore before you. You silenced the boast of sin and grave. Heavens are rolling, the praise of your glory.
Say thank you for all of you generous supporters who have been helping Valley Christian in the last few weeks, in the last month. We're just really grateful. Our operating costs are down, but our expenses to help people have gone up. And so we just wanted to say thank you for that generous donations that you continue to give. And if you haven't or you would like to, there are three ways you can help support Valley Christian. One is online. Go to our website at vcctwin.com. Secondly, you can, of course, mail it. Or third, you can drop it off in the mail slot. So we just want to say thank you for supporting our church and our organization and helping those that you don't even know about. We appreciate your support. Thanks.
Thanks to Brian and Chelsea and Megan for doing that. They tried a couple of different things. Brian tried to play a little, and Megan was singing some different parts, and that made it a little more challenging for me to put that together. I could say that, but it was fun.
I miss my band.
I know. I will tell you that I've had a lot of thoughts lately of missing that.
I've just missed being with them. They're just a great group of people.
And yeah, it'll be good to be back, which hopefully be soon here. I need to follow up with people on where we are with those things. But
it's those little things you wind up missing, like you do every week and you don't think twice about it. But now that you can't do them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been thinking about the fun I can have with chairs in the sanctuary.
I think we do musical chairs is what we do.
We could do that. Mm-hmm. I was actually thinking of maybe building a chair maze.
There we go.
You know.
That'd be awesome.
Something like that. I also thought about for people, we could arrange some chairs for people who, not that this happens in our church, but people who sometimes end up falling asleep. We could arrange the chair so they could just lay down.
Wouldn't that be nice?
And we'll turn them into little couches.
Come to church to sleep.
And then I also thought I could take some and strategically face them away from the stage for when they're, like, if I need to put somebody in timeout. You know, like if they, you know, start misbehaving in church, you know, one of the elders or something starts, you know, asking really hard questions, mm-hmm. and then just put them in the timeout chair.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe not.
The possibilities are endless.
I've been thinking about how we could do this. So,
we'll, don't you miss him?
Oh, too much time at home thinking about this stuff is exactly what it boils down to. So, well, it's been an interesting week. I've been watching stories unfold about how the virus is starting to kind of grow in some of the rural areas, which is where we are. And mm-hmm. we've seen little minor increases here and there, but nothing terribly major as of yet. But other areas of the country are going through some of those stages now too. And we've continued to pray for them and hope that God will see them through those times as they go through that. But it seems like our community is waking up a little bit. I know for you, you've got, I think the last homeschooling kid will be done this coming week.
Yes.
Is that? Yes. So, and then you get two kids with nothing to do.
Right. I don't know. I'm not sure what's, maybe I'm going to miss school.
And by you, I mean we.
Us. Right. Exactly.
We get to that. So, so should be an interesting time. And we also had, I don't know if you saw, but we had some other just news that hit through the week. And not to make this a news review, but it seems like we're in this kind of transitionary week of sorts within media and within culture. It's like people are at that point where they're saying, okay.
I think about 2 weeks ago, everyone just hit their max point. Like, I'm done with this.
Yeah. Virus be danged.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm moving.
I don't blame everyone. I think, you know, it's the weather's nice. You get a little stir crazy inside. I think everyone's kind of feeling like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I can kind of see that. And, you know, and with that, we had the story that came out. We talked about it just a little bit mm-hmm. This week and then this morning too about this young man mm-hmm. in Georgia that was. Shot there. And we had, I think, some similar and yet different, not disagreeable reactions. We're in agreement, but I think just our reaction perspective was similar and different as well, just with things that was strange.
Well, your reaction was what?
Well, I was going to ask you first, just, you know, what yours was, but mine really at the end of the day was, I think, it was this instantaneous reminder of the world that we live in. Mm-hmm. It was this moment where the news cycle broke.
Right, from the virus stuff. Let's go to something even more heinous.
Yes, exactly. And it was almost like when you were a kid and your mom would come in and be like, you know, she's been trying to wake you up to go to school mm-hmm. and you've been milking it for as long as you could right. until right. she's finally had it.
Okay.
And then she comes in and it's like the door opens and it's like, get up out of. And it's kind of how that my system, I think, felt was almost just startled back into existence to say, right. Oh, yeah, we have this too. So that's kind of what my initial reaction immediately to it was. What did you, I'm just curious what you, if you had anything different
I just
there.
Thought that I probably don't have any clue of what it feels like to be in a marginal group. To live with that kind of racism. It's never occurred to me. I mean, how many white people really think like, this might be my last job? I mean, no, everyone just leaves and they go do their thing and they come back and they don't think twice about that. Mm-hmm. Most people don't have to think about that. That isn't to say that there haven't been some, you know, incidents. I mean, yeah, women running in Central Park, that hasn't been a problem ever, right? Right. But right. It just made me think like, it made me really sad. And it made me think how what a privileged group I kind of am a part of. And my heart really aches over that. I want a better world for myself and our family.
Yeah.
And you think, you know, I think one of your things, what we were talking about earlier, you said, aren't we better than this?
Right.
And we are. Like, we so are. We're better than this.
Yeah. Yeah.
In so many ways. And yet it's still here. It's still part of our world.
Yes, that was my first thought. Here was how this moment unfolded for me. I saw the link. I clicked it and it took me to to the video.
I didn't watch the video.
Which kind of surprised me, and it seems somewhat benign as it's opening up. And like most things on the internet, especially something like this, it may censor something out or may black something out or it alludes to it or whatever. So I'm watching it. And next thing you know, I mean, you've just seen something you can't unsee.
And that's why I can't watch it. Can't unsee things like that.
And I thought, oh my goodness, I just saw this, which just instantly drew me in to mm-hmm. that moment. Mm-hmm. And I had exactly what you said. I thought, aren't we? How is it this millennium, and we still have this?
Did you see? I don't know if you saw this story, and I don't know where this was at, but someone needing a mask just decided to wear their Ku Klux Klan outfit to the supermarket.
I did.
Who does?
I did. I did. Yeah. Yeah, I don't
I
understand.
I got nothing. I mean,
yeah.
What, like 2020, right?
You would think it would be hindsight, but apparently we don't have any. Yes,
I don't know.
I had that thought initially was, and it wasn't a thought born out of being naive. It was a thought out of to say, I think from that point inside to say, at what point in time are we going to be done with things like this as a species, as right. humanity?
Right.
And I think that's where it was in that moment that I caught myself. I instantly, you know, I had this moment thinking, oh my gosh, what does it take? Are you serious? I mean, just all of the thoughts going through that in the middle of that, Bible brain snagged me. Just went, whoa, 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 Mr. Naive living in, you know, the Mountain West over there in your little home. What are you thinking? Because Bible brain jumped in and said, have you forgotten the story of humanity? Have you forgotten? I mean, and it really was a question to myself to say, what is it that really makes me think that somehow, because it's 2020 and we live in America, that somehow we have changed at the core of ourselves as just as a species, as an animal, as a human. And it was a quick reminder to say how easy it is to fall into a place where you do treat people like that, maybe even not knowing you do. It was a reminder to me to say how easy it is for even someone like me to look at other people, not because of race or that kind of thing, but for any situation, and say, I think my kingdom needs to look this way and you don't belong in it. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to wage war on you in order to make my world look the way I want it to look.
Right.
And that nature of a human heart, I don't think that's changed. It may manifest itself in new and different and creative ways, but ultimately, I think that the desire of the human heart for that power and that control and just more and more, I don't know that we will ever get rid of that apart from what, again, Jesus. Scripture would say we need to do about that. So my Bible brain kicked in, and I know that's not where everybody's brain is, but that's where my brain went.
I like that. Your description of your Bible brain.
Yeah, the BB, B squared, jumped right in there. And
I don't even pretend to know what happens up there.
But would you be okay? I kind of jotted a few thoughts mm-hmm. and wanted to maybe just share a perspective that is a reminder mm-hmm. to people who are Jesus followers, to Christians, mm-hmm. about what this purpose we have looks like a little bit mm-hmm. In the context of somebody in who was writing a letter to some other folks in the New Testament, mm-hmm. and it's in the context of his prayer for them, what he wants for them, mm-hmm. And it's a reminder, I think, of what this thing is about a little bit. And so, I mean, would you be okay if I nerded out for just a second?
Yeah, sure.
You're okay with that? All right. Would you mind reading?
Sure.
That for me? Okay. All right. I printed it out for you, just
big,
so you
I
can kind of, well, hopefully enough for you. So.
All right. Colossians 1:9-14. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all of his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins.
Yeah, so I thought about this section mm-hmm. in really the picture of two kingdoms. Right? That for many Christians, I think it's easy to forget that we were rescued from something. There was a phrase that I lifted from another pastor one time, which was rescue people. And it's so easy as we go through our lives and our days to forget that we were rescued from something. Mm-hmm. And we don't want to think that we were rescued from a kingdom that is representative of the kind of violence and evil that we see in the world. Mm-hmm. But that is the kind of kingdom that we were rescued from.
Right.
And if we think about it, just I think if as a natural thought to that.
Well, we assume everyone else is rescued and they're not. Well, and they should behave accordingly or different than.
Actually, I think it's even worse than that, that there are many who know that people have not been rescued out of that, mm-hmm. and they look at this kingdom that, especially if they're a Christian, I would hope that Christians would see past this, but
you never know.
You never know, because sometimes Christians want to grab a hammer and order some lumber. get some nails and
let's build something.
And let's go ahead and actually construct this kingdom of the light, the kingdom of the sun, the kingdom of God in our image, the way we think it should be done.
Sure.
And begin to enforce that upon
everyone.
Everyone.
Right.
Around us.
Because that's the way to show love.
Well, that's the, right. How well does that work? Typically not very well. And so that was one of the first things that I began to think about. And this scenario made me stop and pause and start to ask questions again, such as these guys thought they had that this was Arbery, I think is his name, that was running. They think he was caught on video as being a burglar or something, and there's no evidence of that whatsoever at this point that we're aware of. Not that it would matter, because here was the thing. I what is it that he could have possibly taken
that's worth grabbing a gun and
deserved
just, right.
that? Like, what in the value system?
Because it wasn't about.
Well, okay, no, that's an application of judgment that's going to go too far at this point. Okay. Because I think the more fair question is, what is it that somebody could take from me that, in other words, they wander into my little corner of the kingdom right over here and remove something or several things? Do I have anything here aside from
family?
That I would kill over?
Probably not.
So what kingdom am I really building then? That sort of becomes the question. And I think Paul, who's writing this, is, you know, he uses this phrase, it shows up here in verse 12, always thanking the Father, he has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to his people. And I think to myself, well, if I'm sharing in something, this inheritance, this thing that God has given me, there are two thoughts that come to mind. One, it doesn't belong to me. It's an inheritance that was given to me, whose owner is God.
Right.
And two, is the inheritance so small that I feel like I have to guard it with my life or with the life of another?
Right.
Or is there actually enough there to go around? Like in this kingdom that we're sharing in with God, is there really enough? I think there is to go around. And so
it's about perception.
I think it's about really looking at the motives as to why you do things. And I know this is in the context of what happened there, but it hits a little closer to home when you start to think about how you're transitioning from a kingdom of darkness to a kingdom of the sun of light in your own personal life. Because now, if you end up being, say, I used this phrase earlier today, if you are perhaps a tyrannical father in your home and you are running your home as a tyrant,
right,
and everyone is in fear of you, and you will do whatever it takes and whatever is necessary to enforce the behavior you want.
Right.
And then you show up at your church group and you do your things and you do all of that. I think that this applies to that case too, that it's born out of the very little things that you do in your life. When you start to see you're waking up, you're moving through your day, and you're going to bed in the context of, I live in a kingdom of light where I bring good fruit. God delivers good things through me. He delivers the love and the kindness through me to others. And you start to do that in the very tiniest of things.
Sure.
Then when you do find yourself in the big moment, you've already trained yourself to say, okay, wait, I don't have to be the tyrant here. I don't have to make my home look this way, or my kids behave this way, or my workplace needs to behave the way I want it to, and I'm going to shape it in my image, or my neighborhood, or even my nation, or even my world. Mm-hmm. I simply behave as someone who belongs to another kingdom and is passing through in this time. And it's, to me, it's easy to get lost in that and go back to the ways of the kingdom we left. And the kingdom we left is violence. It's rule, it's power, it's control, it's going to be, we're going to do it this way. That's the kingdom we all came from. And it's easy to let that fall back into place.
I think the part we should look at is that, yes, that's what we left to come into a better kingdom of God. But our world around us is that kingdom. And I see a lot of people getting upset when things aren't like they want them, their government isn't like they wanted to be, and things like that. And that's fine. But we shouldn't expect from our world around us to be the same as the kingdom, because it's not the same.
Right.
I mean, it's our job to try to share that light with people, but to, you know, parade around and, I don't know, bring violence, and even just in their words and actions or arguments or conversations, it just, I don't know, it doesn't make sense all the time. So I think people can waver between the two, and that's when you have to kind of default and wait a minute. What is this really about?
Right.
What
right.
is my life about? Who is it for? All of those things. And we all fall short of that at times. But our world out there can look better when more people are attuned to that voice about starting the day and, you know, what's the most, you know, true and beautiful and wonderful thing we can do for God today. You know, who are we living for? What are we here for? So I think people in tune with maybe their purpose or their belief system, they have maybe a better time dealing with it. I don't know, maybe not.
You know, this is the brilliance of unplanned, unscripted moments like this, because you landed in exactly the space that one of the things Paul is praying for this church, mm-hmm. 2,000 years ago, he's praying for them. As you say, we live in this world, right? We live in this world that continually presents these options of good or bad, right? And mostly bad. And this is what Paul prayed for these people. This was one of his prayers of how do we function in this? Mm-hmm. And he says this, it's in verse 11. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power. Now I'm going to stop there and say, so that we can overcome and we can cast out the evil and we can just get rid of it, and we've got to have glorious power. Just put that in the context of God as a creator God and what comes to mind. Glorious power. And you can begin to draw these images in your brain. Glorious power. Yes, from God. What kind of power? Okay, Paul, what's in there? So that you will have all the endurance and patience you need.
Mm-hmm.
Power to endure,
right,
and be patient.
Sure. It's not talking about changing the world. It's about having the strength to walk through it.
It's having the strength to be the change that we've been asked to be in the world. Mm-hmm. And that, again, it was a reminder to me of how impatient I can be.
We all
with
can.
The world changing.
Sure.
But then I need to be reminded that I can only do my part in my little corner of my world. That's really all I can impact.
I read this great quote I'll share because it seems relevant here. It was from a book called Untamed by Glennon Melton. And it says, despair says the heartbreak is too overwhelming. I am too sad and too small, and the world is too big. I cannot do it all, so I will do nothing. Courage says, I will not let the fact that I cannot do everything keep me from doing what I can. And so I think when we talk about, you know, being frustrated and looking at all of the craziness comes out of, you know, a week in the life of our world right now, which is a lot. I mean, there's so many issues going on right now. It really does feel like we're in, I don't know, some alternative universe. It doesn't really sometimes feel like we yeah. really are in modern day 2020.
Yeah, I get that.
But what can we do, right? How can we take that part of the light we have and do something for our world?
I think
it's like whatever it is that breaks your heart is what you need to be going after to help solve.
Yeah, and I to that point, that is really the question, is the so what out of all of this. Mm-hmm. Where does that bring us in the mix of these things? It's one thing to be frustrated. It's another thing to allow that frustration to change the character of who you are as a Christ follower.
Right.
And being able to recognize when you are reaching that moment of frustration, or you're trying to regain any perception of control you thought you ever had.
Sure.
On that.
Yeah.
Should be a flag. It should be a warning flag that raises up and says, And I think coming into the next, especially coming through this summer, and probably for a number of years for us, for everyone who's going through this around the world, there are many unknowns and many unexpecteds that are going to come out of the woodwork. I mean, just we have never had quite a change like this, even in economic terms, which are stressors. Let alone racial issues, which are stressors, not having a job, stressor, having to have more kids at home, all of these things can kind of stack in. And it's the moment where we can look back into something where Paul would write and say, look, I'm praying for you that you would have some spiritual wisdom. You can see a bigger picture at play, that there's something happening on a grander scale that we all are playing a part of. And we need to remember that in this really big picture, that we want to play on the side of the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God, the only way to begin to overcome or really root out or even affect any kind of change is one, to be the hands, the feet, the heart, the mind of Christ in the lives of those who are in and around us. Not easy to do, especially when you're having bad days and bad weeks. It's not easy. Give yourself a little break. You know, it doesn't have to be perfection with that. But remembering that that's one of the roles that we have. And that it's only through Christ, through his Spirit, through the power that comes through him, through that trust and that faith, that unwavering loyalty, that we can affect that change. And we get the chance to introduce others into that relationship. And the more that we do that, the more that we get a chance to share Jesus with others, the more we begin to take back some territory for the kingdom of God. And plant little pockets of love and care and kindness in places, not always right away in it. And we don't always get it right. We don't. But the hope of the Christian, our hope is that we will do exactly what he asked us to do and go and be him in the world.
Well, and what he asked us to be doesn't change during quarantine.
No.
It's the same.
No.
Right?
Doesn't make it any easier, but.
No. But it's the same. Nothing has changed because he doesn't change. He is.
Yeah. And so when you ask the question, what do we do? I think you pray for wisdom. You remember the greater thing that's happening out here, that there is evil and danger in the world. It's a scary place to be. Mm-hmm. Yet we have an opportunity to walk with someone, to walk with Jesus, who said, hey, look, your world is like this, but don't fear. I will walk with you in this, and I've already beat it. So walk with me. Let's walk together through this time and begin to bring that hope. Let that hope spring up through each of us towards others. Asking for that kind of wisdom to know how to discern that is a really key important thing. And I read this, the, how many times do we read the stories of people who have gone through moments of crisis through all of this or at any time? And I can see for them the what if they had had someone there in their life who could love them with the love that God has given.
Sure.
You know, I can imagine what it looks like when somebody will take the time to make the small little changes in their life and their world to understand I play a role in these kingdoms. Mm-hmm. And I am constantly making a choice between one or the other. Right. And if I can choose the kingdom of God, then I can imagine a different world.
Well, and there are people who use, incorrectly, use their relationship or their interpretation of what God wants them to do is violent, and they are somehow, you know, empowered by God from that. That is not what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's not what we're talking about at all. No. I can imagine it better when people will take the time to seek out the wisdom, the will, and the knowledge that God provides, find the courage and the patience and endurance mm-hmm. to function and survive in this world that seems to be ruled by a kingdom of darkness, right? Mm-hmm. And remembering that every time I make the decision and the choice to live as a child of the kingdom of the Son, I am making a difference. Mm-hmm. I am standing out like this massive, bright, huge spotlight in this world, almost to the point where people won't believe it.
Right.
They'll look at what you're doing and say, no, that can't be. Wait, you gave and you didn't expect? Are you kidding? No. Nobody does that.
Well, it's contagious when you are around those kind of people.
Exactly.
And you want to be around them because they have a life energy that's different about them. And it's because it's not all about them. It's about someone else, something bigger than themselves.
Yeah. I can imagine that where if you truly have been transferred into the kingdom of the Son, S-O-N, Jesus.
Thank you for...
if you truly have been transferred into that kingdom, mm-hmm. you can't help but bring things from that kingdom here. Mm-hmm. And we know what those are.
Right.
We know exactly. It's, in fact, it's the same author that wrote this is the same author that describes these fruit of the tree that will spring forth from you, this love, joy, peace, patience. These are the kind of things that grow,
right?
That grow in the garden of this kingdom that
because
we
those
deliver.
Don't come naturally.
No, they don't.
Otherwise.
and when we do that, it does stand out.
Right.
It is absolutely shocking when people see that. Mm-hmm. And it makes a difference. It matters. Right. Every little thing matters. Just as much as this that mm-hmm. we just witnessed matters too. I know it can be better. I can imagine it being better. But it takes some work and some effort mm-hmm. in each of us individually to do that. And I think for me, even like Paul several thousand years ago, the prayer is endure.
It's the same.
Remember right. where you come from. Mm-hmm. Be who you're supposed to be here. This kingdom of darkness is not your permanent home. Mm-hmm. You're passing through. Make a difference while you're here. Every Christian who has done that in the past, in history, has made a difference in somebody's life. They mm-hmm. cared for someone when they needed cared for. They provided when someone needed something to be provided. They did those things. And that's the kind of thing I can imagine when we remember who it is that we serve, who it is that we follow, who it is that we're loyal to, and just keep that in the forefront of our mind as we move through things. So mm-hmm. that's my rant. Hopefully thank you for being patient with me on my rant. So, but I think it can be better, and I think we can do better.
I agree.
So, well, will you pray for us?
Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together to be with those watching. We pray for your spirit to be with us so that we know right from wrong. We pray for the opportunity to show the light of who we are, of who you are through us. In the big things and in the small things, Lord, we thank you for who you are, that you never change, and that in times of distress like this, that we can always call upon you for help and for wisdom and guidance. We thank you for everyone watching, and we know that you're going to be with them and that you know their prayers and their suffering and their joys. And we thank you that we can all come together and be in front of you on this Sunday morning. We thank you for all that you give us, and we ask for your protection upon everyone that's listening this week. We thank you for who you are and the ability to serve you. In your name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. Oh, we're recording.
Oh.
Are you okay that we're recording?
No.
No? Do you want me to start all over again?
Yeah.
You want me to start all over again? It's too late. We've already started. So this is called Communion with Kiddos, and this is what we get to go through now. We have, what is our selection today, Miss Poppy?
M&M's and
those are called Nilla wafers. Mini Nilla wafers.
Mini Nilla wafers.
Yeah. And did you, Daisy, did you pick out the
Nilla wafers?
Why did you pick out the Nilla wafers?
Because I was just looking in the pantry. I'm like, well, Nilla wafers are kind of small. Because we were out of goldfish. So I was looking for something small, like a Nilla wafer.
So I should mention that they had put goldfish in my head earlier today, which I was all about. We have actually had goldfish for communion at church.
Mm-hmm.
We have Parmesan goldfish.
Yeah.
And that was pretty fun. That was kind of a fun day. So you had told me that earlier, and I had this whole thing I was going to do about goldfish and communion and tie it into a Jesus story. And then,
but now you got nothing.
As it turns out, we have not had a fish and loaf miracle in our home. We are out of goldfish. So I looked for crumbs because I thought we could take the crumbs from that story and feed four. Not thousand, but four.
I think we just got rid of the box.
Oh, that's a bummer. So anyway, but this is good.
I saw it in the trash can.
You saw it in the trash can? Yeah, that's a good place for an empty box of goldfish to be. So.
Can you look in the trash can?
Mm-hmm. It's when she takes out the trash.
When she takes out the trash, exactly.
Yeah.
So, do you remember when we talked about communion last week, that this is that time where we can stop and remember what it was that Jesus did for us?
Uh-huh.
And so, did you have any more questions about that since we did that?
You have to, like, close your eyes since it's like a prayer.
Do you have to close your eyes because it's a prayer?
Yeah.
You don't have to, no.
Oh.
You don't. So, it's all about the intent, the purpose, and the meaning, and remembering. Do this and remember me and what I did for you. That's what it's about. So, in this case, we're gonna do that. right. So Daisy got through that without laughing.
Sounds like, except right up to that moment.
Exactly. We want to thank you for joining us in communion. We hope you've enjoyed your time today. We hope you enjoy your Mother's Day. And happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Happy Mother's Day to you, too.
Thank you.
So, and we appreciate our good kiddos that we have here with us today. So, have a good week. Hopefully, we'll see you next Sunday. Bye-bye.
Bye.